The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 4 minutes past nine on this Thursday. We're into the 3rd of September now. How you're keeping? Do hope you're very well. We look forward to keeping you informed and entertained and company for the next 2 hours on this show and throughout the day, of course, here on your number one local radio station. Lots coming up and we want you involved in the conversation throughout. I'm still going to try and catch up on some of the hundreds of comments we received yesterday as we discussed the traffic chaos in Letterkenny. I don't know what it's like this morning, to be honest with you. Maybe you can help us. We're not going to be doing the full show on it because obviously there are many people listening from outside that area and overkill it. We don't want to overdo it either. But looking out through the mountaintop, traffic does seem to be moving more smoothly this morning, but that doesn't mean anything, really. So that's just a snapshot. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 07491 25000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. And we invite you to watch the show if it suits you. Maybe you're working from home or at the home, or you're in an office or reception or whatever. You can throw us up on the big screen too. Go to the YouTube app on your smart TV or your Fire Stick and just type in Highland Radio Ireland. Handy to give the channel a like and subscribe because it means you don't have to keep searching for it. And we're on the X platform as well if that suits you. Protests are urged as traffic congestion drives people mad. This is one of the calls we heard on the show yesterday. It's reported, the story's reported in the Derry People Donegal News. Protests that leave school classrooms empty could result from traffic congestion issues. It is warned motorists, business owners and drivers, driving school instructors, bus drivers and others in Letterkenny this week hit out and insisted that problems are becoming chronic in the town centre. The road users this week complained that the problems are driving people and businesses mad with frustration after ambulances were blocked, driving lessons were cancelled, school buses were late, taxi runs were delayed and travel journeys across the town were taking as long as 1 hour. It's a problem, isn't it? And I think, you know, we'll get some political reaction today. There are some councillors saying that, look, it's not too late to undo what's been done. Would that help? Is that really what you want? I don't know. I'm also interested in elevating it up to Dáil level. You know, we've got five public representatives in this county who represent us in the Dáil. And we're talking about a major issue in the town's, the county's biggest town. So I wonder what they have to say. So we'll put the feelers out and see if they wish to get involved in that conversation. One of those TDs, Pat the Cope Gallagher, is quoted in the Tyrconnell Tribune. Deputy Pat the Cope Gallagher has called on Taoiseach Micheál Martin to directly intervene to protect Ireland's status in the new CAP deal and to ensure rural communities are given a fighting chance for survival. He said losses from Pillar 2 will drain billions of euros from the west of Ireland and will impact every rural community, and Micheál Martin must ensure the 2.5 billion cut is taken off the agenda immediately. And there is also a tribute paid to a very handsome man looking out at me in this paper this morning, and that's the late Charlie McAteer. The funeral of Charlie McAteer, St. Bridget's Terrace in Kerrykeel, will take place on Friday. The Requiem Mass in Our Lady of Lourdes Church is at midday. Charlie passed away at his home on Tuesday. He was president of Fanad Gaels and a founding member of the club in 1982. Charlie was a Fanad man, a family man, a GEA man and a Blaney man all of his life. And you will recognise his surname. He is the brother of a very good friend of this show, John McAteer. And we pass on our condolences to John and all of the family and friends and the community, the Fanad community, such an integral part of it as well too. May he rest in peace. The Derry News this morning, a woman has been remanded in custody at Derry Magistrates Court, charged with assaulting four nurses and three members of the public at Altnagelvin Hospital and scolding two prisoners in Hydebank Prison. Gwyneth Doherty, 47, of No Fixed Abode, appeared charged with seven assaults in August 31st in Altnagelvin, with the alleged victims being four nurses and three members of the public. On August 31st, the defendant was also charged with disorderly behaviour and criminal damage to medical equipment on the same date. Generally speaking, not speaking about that case specifically, it is always good to see any alleged assault of nurses or hospital staff or anyone for that matter. But you know what I'm saying, particularly in that hospital setting, being pursued there. The Irish Daily Mail this morning. Now charity has event for chest feeding. This is off the back of breastfeeding for kinks advocate being booked to speak at a lactation conference in Galway. Clearly not an isolated incident, because it's reported today that the HSC needs to root out crackpot ideology. A TD has warned, as another state-funded charity was criticised for promoting a breastfeeding and chest feeding event. Now, the reason this is of public interest is A, it's in Ireland and you're the Irish public, but B, you're paying for this stuff. You're helping to fund it. Reading on here, it comes as a lactation conference due to take place in Galway in October will now happen online after criticism of one of the speakers who was previously spoken of kinks in relation to lactation. And a similar controversy has broken out over Could You? Where's that now? A charity that provides antenatal education, which is under fire for promoting a monthly event at its Waterford branch entitled Breastfeeding Chest Feeding Group on a section of its website. Now, if I were a border man and were to transition to live my life as a female, and I would say, do you know what? I want to be welcomed into this group of individuals. I'm a minority within it. It puts people in a position where they have to take a stand. You know, just call it breastfeeding. Just call it fine. Now, obviously, I think this is relating to women, biological women who've transitioned to male. And, you know, that's it becomes a chest then rather than breasts. But again, if that were I, and it's very unlikely that it might be, if that were I would go, do you know what? I don't want to have any blowback on the community. We're in an absolute minority here. Just let it go. The language is fine. Just call it breastfeeding. I can deal with it. But no, because of a few people, and it is a small amount of people, and no shade on them particularly, but this controversy, the front page controversy, is there. So on a section of its website, it says, we generally use the word mother mum, but acknowledge that not all people who choose to breastfeed or chest feed their healthy identity, their babies identify as women. Could You is an inclusive organisation which supports all parents in their feeding method of choice. So, if these are children's charities, sometimes these children's charities, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, but some of these children's charities tend to be more focused on big people, adults, don't they? Rather than maybe digging in and having a good old look at the reality of it and any potential problems there may be. As I say, I don't know. I'm just reading what's in the papers. What do you believe? Do you believe chest feeding language is inclusive, it should be used, that Could You is right, and that is well spent state money? 086 60 25,000. And you know, I know there might be some texts in support of it, then there are others might go, oh, the world's gone mad and this, that and done. But I'd be interested in digging in a little bit deeper into opinions. Also, if you voted for President Connolly, do you mind that she's meeting the US president? Is that what you voted for? Would you have expected her to take some sort of a moral stance on it, maybe not meet him, to excuse herself from that opportunity? Or do you believe that, you know, she was voted into a position that requires her to meet, you know, all manners of heads of state, whether or not, I'm not sure, would she meet Netanyahu, for an example? I don't know, but she'll meet Trump. What do you think? He's coming to Ireland, as I say, particularly if you voted for her. US President Donald Trump will visit Aras Nuchdaran to meet President Catherine Connolly next week, despite tensions between the pair earlier this year. During Taoiseach Micheál Martin's visit to the Oval Office on St. Patrick's Day, when her criticism of his war in Iran were raised by members of the media, Mr. Trump referred to Ms. Connolly as a he. Their meeting will be brief, courtesy visit. Sources with knowledge of the preparation said, and it will not be on the scale of visits by former President Barack Obama and Joe Biden, but the meeting is going to happen. Maybe it's an opportunity for her to express her views. I don't know. What would be really interesting is if it was a sort of a Trump-Zelensky type meeting with the press present. It'd be very interesting to see President Connolly, if she were to take him on in that environment, and how she might fare. But it's not going to happen. It's going to be behind closed doors, and it's going to be courteous. Irish Farmers Journal confirming in their headline that Brazilian beef off the menu. Brazilian beef and poultry have been banned from entering the EU as of this Thursday. We've covered that story extensively, so I'll skip by. The government can't make up its mind what to do with e-scooters, and lots of you out there have them. That's why I'm bringing this to you. An e-scooter ban for under 18s will not be in place for months, despite new regulations on vehicles being signed yesterday. A stark report outlining that there has been a 50% increase in traumatic brain injuries in children from e-scooter crashes prompted the government to introduce a suite of new measures on the vehicles. Transport Minister Dara O'Brien and Junior Minister Sean Canny signed regulations yesterday that will make the wearing of helmets and high-vis clothing mandatory for e-scooter riders. There are now these new regulations will come into effect tomorrow, with Mr. Canny saying those caught not complying will be stopped. But there are other calls today from people within Fine Gael for an all-out ban. And some of this will affect us. Bus and train fares set to go up 15%. I'm not saying people from the Northwest never use trains, but obviously we don't have any that come here into the Republic. Bus and train fares are to increase by about 15% on average under measures to be announced today. The move is expected to see the Transport for Ireland 90-minute fare, which gives unlimited travel across eligible services in Dublin for €2 over a period of an hour and a half, raised to 2:30. There you go. Some of you be down there. Some of you had family down there. Terry Burton of Terry Burton Photography joins me on the show now. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for your time.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm all right. We've lost a part of our access to Facebook, which is problematic for us. So I can kind of have empathy for you, but it doesn't really go far enough, because you've lost complete access to Facebook and Instagram. And as a individual, but also as a business person, a critical contact with your customers. What happened?
I logged in for my usual Friday night doom scroll, and I got a message from Meta saying that I had violated community standards, which I hadn't. And then it just locked me out of everything. Everything related to that particular email on Facebook and on Instagram. And there was no appeal button, and I couldn't access the customer service link at all. So I was completely shut out. I had no way of telling people. Like, I felt like I was literally in prison. And I have to say that I'd heard about people getting locked out of their accounts or hacked or whatever, and I just sort of dismissed it. I didn't understand the impact that it would have in a real sense. And actually, it was intense.
The one thing I've found with our experience is that they say AI flagged an issue. We were able to have an appeal, two appeals, and the same AI says, no, it's a crypto scam. And I think in a similar situation to yours, there's a number of associated accounts, right? So it daisy chains. So if there's a violation on one account or an alleged violation, it daisy chains and has an impact on others as well. And that seems to be the problem with you. It was a dormant account that was attached to your active account.
Yes. I hadn't even opened it, looked at it for 18 months. I'm still unclear as to whether I was hacked or whether this was a Facebook cock-up. A Meta mistake. Because after I got hacked, after I got my account shut down, I went and had a look at my spam folder, and I saw two emails purporting to be from Meta. And I thought, well, I've already lost everything, so I might as well open them. I'd be fairly good at spotting when something's a scam. Like, I don't answer certain phone calls. Everybody gets, you know, plagued by these. I'm fairly discerning. But I thought, well, I've already lost it. So I opened them, and there were two emails saying the same thing, but it was definitely a fake email. So this was from hackers, and it had said the same thing as the message that I'd gotten from Meta. So I thought, I don't know whether this is a hack or if this is real. But anyway, there was absolutely no way, as I'm sure you guys know, that you can't speak to a human. Meta doesn't care about you losing your livelihood, your access to, I mean, so many people rely on Meta to drive business into their shop or onto their website. And without that, there's nothing.
And
But
is
there, like,
your,
how do you?
are you banned or is your access suspended for a period of time? Can you determine that?
Well, I wish I was banned because that would be way cooler. But no, I'm still none the clearer as to what happened. So I started digging around, and I've got some useful information for people who might be in a similar situation. Okay, what you can't access anybody at Facebook unless you give them. Sorry, I keep saying Facebook. I mean Meta,
Yeah, it's all
the
the
group
one
that
thing.
runs
It's
all of
fine.
this.
Yeah.
So, they don't want to, they won't let you talk. There isn't the facility available for you to speak to anybody, not even an AI bot in a chat room, unless you give Meta money. Okay, so to give Meta money, you have to be taking out paid ads on a regular basis, or you have to be verified. Now, I'd always been a bit of a snob about the verified thing. I just think, oh, people with 1,000 followers getting a blue tick, like, cop yourself on. But what we don't know is that, yeah, we're paying for customer service. That's basically what it is. So the minimum, the smallest verified package they do is €16.99 a month. You can bet your life I'm actually going to get that now, and I don't care if I look like an idiot for having a blue tick.
The only problem is I actually do have a blue tick. It just turned up one day, which is fantastic, and I do have access to that customer service. It doesn't supersede the AI decision.
No.
So,
So,
in other words, I did get through to a human, Luna,
oh, very good.
and
Actually,
Luna, and Luna had a look around, and then she says, it's being reviewed again by AI. I can't interfere with that.
okay, do you know, when we're in these chat rooms, we assume that we're talking to a human, right? I can always tell when I'm speaking to a human and when I'm speaking to a robot because the robot is kind and polite and helpful. This is no joke.
Oh no, I know, but I mean, it's crazy that we've got to that point.
It is. I'd actually nearly rather speak to a robot. Another little hack that I found, I know a guy who actually did the software development for chat bots, not chat, what are they called? The AI
Yeah, chatbots.
assistants.
That's it. Yeah, chatbots.
So first of all, I gave him a slap. But I like he said he gave me a shortcut. He said, if you're in one, just type the word human. Keep typing the word human, and they're legally obliged to put you through to a human.
Okay. What do you do now, though? Because you're still at the point where you're trying stuff. You obviously have a network of active users. Look, you can have a million followers, but you'd be better off with whatever the figure is. I don't know. Active people that are actually interacting with you. The
Correct, yeah.
number, the number is irrelevant. It's the level of interaction you have. So you're going to lose that. And of course, too, there's business imagery and memories and your own memories too, because like a
Yeah.
lot of us, it's intertwined. So, do you batter away and try and regain access, or do you start from scratch? At what point do you say, well, I can't take on this billion-euro, multi-billion-euro organization?
Oh, well, that's where you're wrong. I did. Whereas the whole Meta thing may be impenetrable, I am relentless. If something's wrong, I'll find the energy for it. So first thing I did, I'm very lucky to have a few friends who have got millions of followers. So they've been to some of the Meta conventions and they know people. And I was able to get an email address for Facebook, actually. So I emailed them. And it said, oh, it could take 30 days to get back to you, right? Which is brilliant because like that's 30 days of lost revenue potentially. Now I'm lucky because a lot of my work comes from referral, so it was okay. So I started to calm down a bit there. I immediately set up a new account, and I did this with you can't use the original email address. So I've recently done a rebrand, so I've got a new website and I've got a new email address. So I used that to set up a new account. And I managed, honestly, I felt like I'd given myself epilepsy, the amount of posting and like putting captions and tagging people and contacting everybody and trying to remember the names of like 14,000 people across both platforms, which I couldn't do, and adding them all. Like I did about 14 hours of nonstop just trying to rebuild it. And that was on Saturday. I managed to get up to just under 400 followers. A lot of them were new businesses that hadn't followed me previously. I have to say, people are really, really nice. I did a video sort of, I started to lose my mind a little bit, so I was a little bit more candid than I'd normally be. And it got shared about 80 times. It was seen by 55,000 people in 24 hours. So thank you to everybody who did that. Mm. So then what I did was I had a little idea, because I'm always trying to find a loophole, a way of a shortcut. And I realized that if I added my phone number to my new account, it would be only a matter of time before Meta realized this and blocked me again. And then maybe the appeal button would be there, because apparently it's randomly given the ability to appeal their decision. So I did that. It was a gamble, but again, when you haven't got anything to lose, you haven't got anything to lose.
Yeah.
So I did that, and I spoke to your producer, and then about 10 minutes later, that account got blocked as well.
Oh, no.
Now, I'm not saying those two things are linked, by the way. She's a very nice lady. But that gave me an appeal button, and it actually gave me a thorough appeal process. And then within an hour, I got an email from Meta saying, oh, we made a mistake. Here are all your accounts back.
Wow. Okay. Well done. When was that? When did you get access?
That Tuesday.
Well done. That's brilliant stuff. So that doggedness, yeah. That the persistence paid off. Should it be so hard? No. Would most of us give up by now? Yeah. But there you
go. Absolutely not. No. And then what I'll do is I'll tell everybody that has the same problem the information that I got.
Brilliant.
So if anybody wants the email for Facebook appeals, send me a message. It's Terry Burton Photography on Instagram. Best
Happy
place
days.
To get me. I'll give you the email address.
All right. You might send it on to Caroline.
No problem.
All right.
No, I hate this stuff. Like, they really don't care. Like, the real life effect that this has is insane. Like, I lost photos of my two daughters when they were babies.
But you have
there
that
are
back
messages.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay.
There were messages from friends between friends and I who have since died.
Yeah.
You know, they were gone. It was just like, there's family members that are in other countries. I couldn't. You know,
well,
every
6 months I download all my data from certain places like WhatsApp and all to ensure I never lose that, because it is absolutely horrendous. Okay, listen, that's good news, good advice, and people can check out your socials for your work, but also any tips in getting back into their pages. Thanks, Terry. Well done. Thank you very much indeed. Appreciate
your
time.
No problem. Have a good day.
Okay, bye-bye. You too. Terry Burton there of Terry Burton Photography. On Donald Trump's visit, Trump most likely doesn't even know who the Irish president is. Well, he's misgendered her, so he does. Will the president, who actively spoke against Trump in the run-up to her election, now do what others do and forget about her principles and make him welcome? Well, it's being set up as a cordial visit, so I don't know. Maybe there's not going to be any ill feeling between them. Patricia Arlag joins me on the programme now. Good morning to you, Arlie. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, you're changing the name of the school, or is it proposed? Tell us what's changing.
Well, I suppose the school will always be, you know, Garda Hark National School, but we're redirecting a patronage to our school. The patronage of St. Carlo Acutis.
And of course, he is a young saint, very much associated with modern life. Why choose him?
Well, 10 years ago, we had invited Antoinette Moynihan of Children of the Eucharist to come to our school to teach the children about adoration. And 10 years ago, she asked us to pray for this young boy that he would become a saint. So this is a process that has been going on in our school for the past 10 years. And we are a school of Children of the Eucharist. So we've been praying for this. And last year, when St. Carlo was canonized, we had decided as a school that this would be a lovely way to honor our first millennium saint and to bring, you know, our church to this new era and a role model for young children to look up to, especially as he is the patron saint of the internet, where our children are at harm daily online.
Yeah, and he's God's influencer. He was also referenced to use technology to share faith and promote
that.
Catholic
I
teachings.
Do love that.
Yeah, a different way of doing things, a different era.
But in a world where everyone's an influencer. Yeah, in a world where everyone wants to be an influencer. I mean, I think it's wonderful that he is God's influencer. Mm. And I really believe that this will have a big impact. I mean, even yesterday when the men were erecting saints, they were like, who is this? You know, and we do have our beautiful saints here in New Breach, New Columkilly, New Pwetherick. And of course, they hold so dearly within our culture, and it is just wonderful that we have this new saint that has become worldwide known for documenting your Christic miracles and also Marian apparitions at a young age. I mean, a 14-year-old boy to create a website to document all this was incredible, and that's as a legacy that he has left behind.
I won't dwell on this, but someone did say to me this is crazy that, you know, this is a school in the Gaeltacht and the Irish language is in enough bother without naming the school after someone from Italy. What's going on now? I'm not saying that's a widely held view, but the question is, has there been any pushback, Patricia, to this?
Absolutely none. Absolutely none. And it has been, you know, we were one of the first schools in the Gaeltacht to receive Gaeltacht recognition. We don't speak any English in here. I actually was on RT Radio 1 just before the summer because the government had tried to put us with another school in Chrysla and Muncrana and telling me that we could employ a teacher that wasn't fluent in Gaelic and I wouldn't accept it. Mm. So we are completely passionate. I mean, a saint's a saint. I mean, we'll be Scoil Náisiún Go Gortha Harcaigh.
That was
we
my
are
view. Yeah,
to be St. Carlo a Cruites.
I couldn't understand that point of view. I'll be completely honest with you. I'm just.
Well, I honestly haven't heard that, to be honest with you. But again, that's people that will look for negativity. And you're always coming against it when you are. You know, as a school community, we're delighted because we're a faith school. So it remains our constant hope that our students will flourish deeply in our rich culture, Greg, our language, and our faith. And, you know, the way this country is at the minute, we pray that, you know, we'll have a protective care intercession under St. Carlo a Cruites. And that we will grow in the faith together.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because you mentioned has been a process, isn't it? Because before he was canonised, he was part of the school life, school prayer, etc.
Yes.
So this is almost the culmination of, it's only part of the journey, don't get me wrong, but it's the culmination of a 10-year process almost, you could say.
10-year process, absolutely, Greg. And if I was to tell you, the Department of Education have been wonderful. You know, I had contact after our board of management had met, you know, our parents, I had contact our Kigra there, Katrina Igriana. She was wonderful, thought it was amazing that we were, you know, reaching out to the young Catholics, the young community. And also, we have different faiths in our school here, and everybody's welcome. And we do find that actually the different faiths are so, so respectful that we are a Catholic school. Mm-hmm. You know, they may not be, but that is it. We are so inclusive in here. We have our special class. We have our children coming from our IPA centre. We have children coming from the Ukraine. So we're not pushing that, but we're just saying, listen, you know, that's what makes me laugh when people say about theirs. We want to protect our identity, that we are a proud Catholic Irish school. So, this is where this is at.
Well, do you know what's nice to hear is someone saying that with such conviction? Because, you know, there are those that wouldn't because they would be afraid that it would. And it's nice to hear. It's refreshing to hear. And it kind of aligns with the spirit of this show, too, that, you know, say what you feel and say it with passion and confidence. And it's lovely to hear, Patricia. What happened?
Yeah, and you know what?
Go ahead,
it's nice for you to push that negativity towards me. I'm not saying, you know, someone's comment, because we always have to fight. We always have to fight for to protect our little corner, you know, and it's lovely that I can voice this and I'm not afraid to speak out.
No,
you know,
and
we are
said,
living it.
Yeah, Patricia, as I said, it was an isolated voice, but you know what? I kind of asked that question so it's out of the way in case people do text in, and people are entitled to feel that, but you know what? You're explaining it now, and I think sometimes have that conversation out in the open is far better than any other situation.
Absolutely.
And I also like the fact that, you know, I presume going forward too, that, you know, Carlos, St. Carlos, and the fact that he was so involved in the internet and all that type of stuff, it can actually be used as part of the conversation about safeguarding children in that space as well too, you know, which I think is going to be a nice little feather to the bow.
Oh, without, absolutely. And, you know, in this little area of Donegal, we've had many different hardships. And, you know, even last year, we had lost our own beautiful little neighbour, Enya, and Enya McMurray. She would remind me too a lot of St. Carlo's. She was only a 13-year-old little girl, and her family are actually helping us with the Mass too on Sunday. And with Enya as well, she had died on St. Bridget's Day. So when the Mass at that bank holiday weekend, the church was full. You would think it's St. Patrick's Day. And I was thinking, wow, this little girl, the impact that she has had, because it was her first anniversary Mass. People do reach out when they can relate to someone of their own age. And we need the young children in this country to realise they still need God. Mm. They might have the internet, they might have the answers coming steady and fast. And really, that is what we really want to achieve here.
Yeah. Okay, so part of the process then? So there's a celebration mass on Sunday, isn't that right, in Austin Loch Alton? Everyone is welcome. I'm sure it'll be very well attended in the community.
Absolutely. I mean, I've received calls from far and away. There's people coming from Dublin. There are people coming from Glasgow for this mass. We are in absolute debt and gratitude to Bishop Niall O'Colla, who is celebrating our mass for us. Monsignor Federico, the priest in Italy who had put St. Carlo's forward for canonization, he is coming with the pericardium, the relic of St. Carlo, wow, from Assisi, the parish, from Carlo's parish in Assisi. So as I said to you, Greg, this isn't a last, you know, a quick whim. There's a lot of work gone into this.
And actually... Yeah, I was going to say you've created something incredibly special here.
I feel it. I'm very emotional about it and I'm deeply passionate about it. And as I said to you, it's all about inclusion. We want everyone to come, you know, and people, you know, maybe that don't go to Mass regularly, please come. Please come and come to the blessing of the relic of St. Carlo. It's just very important that in this era, we just need to reach out to each other. I think that's what's missing in the world, just that human connection.
All right. OK. I think your school's going to be all right with you at the home. Thanks very much, Patricia. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, so Sunday at 11 o'clock and also then everyone's welcome for a wee cup of... Actually, there's going to be a procession, a Marian procession from the church to the school then for a blessing and then everyone will be welcome. That's led by both the marching bands. So shout out to Bwyn Cawl Sinsir Gashosir and, yeah, the hotel afterwards. So you're very welcome, Greg, to this part of the world if you're free on Sunday.
I think I might be in a hotel in Dublin with a sore head if the truth be told.
Okay.
With the events in Croke Park. I will be thinking on you, Patricia. God bless. Thank you very much indeed.
God bless. Take care.
Bye-bye. Thank you very much indeed. Right, on the latest... development in the papers today about public-funded events for chest feeders. Okay, if a woman transitions into being a man and really, really wholeheartedly is a man inside a woman's body, they're not going to want to have a baby and they're not going to need to learn to breastfeed. Anybody that does that is just an attention seeker. That's one view. Greg, it's only a woman that can breastfeed. The so-called men who do this have a mental disorder. Imagine a man sitting breastfeeding. Well, you see, in this case, it's this is where it gets complicated. It was someone who was born a woman, identifies as a man, and then you call it chest feeding. Again, I don't understand why anyone would feel that's a hill to die on to cause this controversy, really. But there you go. Maybe there's something I don't understand. There's more trans men in the country than trans women, and I know people don't like to lose their mind over it, like trans women, but it's the fact of the matter. AFABs are far more, assigned female at birth, I believe. AFABs are far more inclined to have gender and body dysmorphia in general. There's a whole lot of stuff about nothing, like you're saying, I wouldn't want to stir the pot, but like, who's actually stirring the pot here? The ones whining about it. Yes, but like... It's easy to say that, and this is why I'm throwing it out there. I don't know, but, you know, women have fought very hard to get where they are today, and they're having to share a lot of stuff now, and maybe that's fine. Maybe they're fine with that, but it is has always been known as breastfeeding, and it's kind of been specific to women. And then there are a small portion of women who now identify as men, and are they saying they want it to be called chest feeding? I mean, what I'm saying is that website and that conference would have just gone on without any controversy if it wasn't for one of the speakers believing it's a fetish, and another including terminology that's going to upset some people. It's a red rag to a bull. Maybe Mr. Trump will teach Miss Connolly a lesson about what's happening in Ireland with all the immigration. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. America has not done anything about that at all. And just before the break, due to unforeseen circumstances, the Swilly Sisters composting workshop scheduled for this coming Saturday in Rathmullen has now been postponed until Saturday the 19th of September instead. Same time, 10 a.m. at the Pier Sheds. Apologies for any inconvenience. A joke, Greg. A school sitting in the middle of Gortahawk Gaeltacht, Italian name. The older people in the graveyard will be turning in their graves. I wonder, did you hear Patricia before you made that comment? Because I think she articulated it really well, but you're entitled to your view. What a fabulous teacher. If only every school had people like her, what a different Ireland our children could grow up in. Good morning, Greg. It's an Irish school with an Italian saint as the school name. Some Italian, no doubt, will slip into the vernacular. Keep it Irish. This is Ireland. She says she wants to keep it Irish, but wants the school named after an Italian. Make that make sense. There is very, there certainly was previously, very strong connections between Ireland, Italy, Ireland, Spain. Do we really want to be completely isolationists? I don't know. But anyway, some people have a problem with that. I anticipated it. But there you go. Tansy McLaughlin is in Inishowen, in Buncrana more specifically. Tansy, thank you for your time.
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right. And how are you with all going on, Tansy?
Do you know what? I'm much, much better today.
Right.
On Tuesday morning, my daughter Maya started school and the house that we were supposed to move to fell through. So it was a bit of panic because our landlord wants to sell the house that we lived in for 12 years to build his own home. And it's getting close to when we were to move out, so we were left panicked, to be honest, about what we would do. So it was a last-ditch attempt, really, just to put something online, and it's just been overwhelming, the community support that's come through it.
Okay, what is the situation you're in currently? When are you out of your what has been your home for 12 years?
Yeah, so we will be it will be mid-November. When we'd need to leave. And the problem just is that there's so few rental properties that anywhere that comes up, you know, usually on Facebook house pages, things like that, that they're gone so quickly because there's such demand. So it's just really difficult to even get to see somewhere, and there's very little out there.
Yeah.
And obviously it's more difficult because we have two small children. So, you know, if it was just ourselves, it'd be a little easier.
So as we speak right now, Tansy, you don't have somewhere else to move into?
Well, we didn't on Tuesday morning, no, but what I would like to say is that actually we have a couple of promising leads, okay. So hopefully that they will turn into something good. Now, obviously, that's not secure yet, but I do want to acknowledge that just hundreds of people just have been resharing the post and people we don't know getting in touch with us when it's just been absolutely amazing. It really has. So
okay.
Through that, we've got a couple of promising leads now. So hopefully now, fingers crossed and touch wood.
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, we'll keep going just in case they were to fall through. So it's a family of four, is that correct?
Yeah.
And obviously with
obviously
with young children, the roots are planted. They're in their local schools. I presume if they're of that going age, Buncrana now very much your home, and that's why you're so keen to stay in that area.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. My husband's from here, and I've lived here with him for 12 years. You know, we've built a life here. We're both working locally as well, and our children are obviously settled in the community now. Rowan started play school on Monday, and Maya started school on Tuesday, and very much wants to stay.
Yeah, ideally a three-bedroomed house in and around that area, and obviously great references as tenants, and you'd be looking for something you know, long term. I mean, obviously, listen, I know you're not being fussy, but it's not stopgap here. Really, you're hoping to secure something that will be your new home for the foreseeable future.
Exactly. Yeah, we want somewhere to call home. And that's it. And, you know, like it's been so heartbreaking. You know, we tried to keep it from Maya, but she must have kind of sensed something. And over the last few months, she started talking about, you know, this is our home, this is our town. And I just want to give her that security. I want her to know that she has a home she's going to move to, because she knows we're moving somewhere, but we can't tell her now that we don't have anywhere, you know. I just want to give her that certainty. I think that in life you can cope with such a lot if you know what the plan is.
Well, that's my philosophy.
Going,
yeah, that's
you know,
yeah, that's literally my mantra. If we know what we're dealing with, we can deal with it. It's the uncertainty, it's the not
exactly.
knowing, it's the open end nature of your situation. And you know, it's funny because that house is the kids' home forever, but that's where you brought them home from hospital and all. And I know when you rent, you can't allow yourself to get too emotionally attached, but my word, so much for you as a family has gone on in the house that you're leaving.
Absolutely. I brought my two babies home here, and I know I left this house to go to get married, you know, and this has been where I've lived since I moved to Buncrana, you know, when I didn't know anybody, and just our neighbourhood as well, you know, we'll really miss our neighbours as well. They've been so lovely and supportive over the years.
But, well, hopefully you won't be too far away from them. You're looking for a 3-bed house to stay in the Buncrana area, because that's where the roots have been well set now, and the children are familiar with it, and they're in their various schools, play schools, etc. And you're excellent tenants, 12 years of local references, not many people can say that, and very proud people. So whichever house that you get, very proud and will look after it. Obviously, I'm just putting that out there, but I mean, that's a given, isn't it, Tansy?
Absolutely, okay. Absolutely. And can I just say as well, before I go, I'd just really like to thank the whole community of Buncrana, because it's been the whole town has been sharing that post, and everybody's been asking me about it at the school gates as well, and so much compassion and concern and help as well. So I'd really like to say a huge thank you.
100%. And you know, that's people might be hesitant to share something like that, but that's when we realise the community we're actually in. Do you know what I mean? And it's been a lovely, I'd say it's been a lovely eye opener for you. Not that you didn't feel that already. But it's nice to know that people care. All right, Tanya, listen, we have your details. Tansy, I beg your pardon. We have your details. If anyone calls us, we'll pass it on to you. It's a 3-bed house in the Buncrana area for a family of 4, excellent tenants with 12 years of references, and with the promise of deeply caring for your new home. Thanks, Tansy. The best of luck with everything.
Thank you.
I think you'll be okay with your various leads, and who's to say what might come from this conversation. But you can't beat good tenants. If you are lucky enough to have a second house, or you inherited it or what have you, it's nice if you can put tenants in there that you don't have to worry about, and that would be the situation with you guys. Thanks so much, Tansy.
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, bye-bye, Slán. So if you've anything in the Buncrana area, 3-bed for that lovely family, get in touch with us and we'll pass it on to Tansy. Some more comments here. Hi, Gregory. Our president, Catherine Connolly's in Donegal at the moment for a wee break. She was in Glenveagh yesterday. Maybe you could ask her on the show for a couple of minutes. I'm not sure we can invite her on, of course. We did have her on in her presidential, during her presidential campaign, but she's here in a personal capacity, so I presume the phone is off. That's what I've been told. She's here in a personal capacity. We did reach out to her, but we were told that she's chilling out. Okay. And we might speak to her at the end of the month, because she returns as part of an official visit then. If people in Letterkenny want to be a city, they will have to live with city traffic problems. We're just not used to these problems in Donegal, coming in from James. James, yeah, but I mean, look, Galway are building the ring road. That's a city. They're not just saying, right, we're in a city, we're dealing with it. You know, they're building a ring road around Galway to alleviate the traffic. In Dublin, they're putting in new bus lanes, a new Lewis to the airport, trying to widen roads. They change the traffic within Dublin. They're a city. They don't have to put up with the traffic. They make changes to try and make the traffic move more smoothly. And I think that's what really is happening here. One of the biggest issues with traffic in Letterkenny in the morning is the blocking of yellow boxes and roundabouts. No one wants to give courtesy to others. Hi, the Knocknamona roundabout should be reduced to make for 3 lanes of traffic to help reduce traffic congestion. That comes in from Paul. Thanks for your suggestion there, Paul. Let me see. There's so many. I would love to be able to share with you how many people texted in yesterday on the traffic. It's such a big issue. That's why I really appreciate speaking to councillors in relation to it, but I don't think really TDs can fudge it. Not that they are, because this is a county-wide issue. It's the biggest town. Apart from the traffic in Letterkenny, it's worrying that students that Errigal don't have a safe walking path from school towards Mountain Top. My daughter almost got hit by a car trying to walk home. Not good enough. My daughter is in first class, and normally I'd expect her to be able to walk home from school. I've actually told her that she should walk home, but at the moment she's too scared to so because of the roadworks. The pathway is closed and children are being forced to walk on the road instead. For a young child, this is frightening, and more importantly, it feels very unsafe. There is traffic passing while there is no proper pedestrian pathway for the children to use. Because I don't feel comfortable allowing my daughter to walk home in these conditions, I currently have to take time off work to collect her from school and drive driver home. I feel there needs to be a safe alternative for children while the pathway is closed. There should be a clearly protected route for pupils walking to and from school. I run an Airbnb and I recently had a French couple stay with me. Hello. When they left me a raving review, I was disappointed that they said everything was fantastic, but avoid Letterkenny. It's costly to eat and impossible to get around because of traffic. That is actually, you know, we can have a million comments on this show, but you see when international visitors start flagging that stuff on the forums that are viewed around the world, a lot of people live and die by them, and that is a problem. That is where you start seeing visitors not come, or whatever the situation may be.
Where your opinion matters. The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Now, some of your comments coming in so far this morning. Last week on News Talk, an international expert on female lactation described male chest feeding as being biologically impossible, stressing it bordered on paedophilia, as such an act would be a violation on the rights of the child and its development. That's not quite what we're talking about, but there's certainly a conversation for what you're talking about the child's rights being violated there. You know, but anyway, keep saying it. I mind growing up in the 90s being told sometimes a man's a woman or a woman's a man, and that's all right until the global Epstein class decided to push it on in the narrative. Check the files, pushing anti-trans as a class divider is in there. Right on. Okay, that's a separate one there. Great to hear Patricia talks about her faith and promoting her Catholic school. St. Carlos is everyone's saint. Saints, they don't recognise borders. Shame on those who think otherwise. Well, you know, I know where you're coming from, and that's just language. But the whole point of conversation is that, like, I always, the way I approach this job is that I am always open to my opinion being changed, and it happens almost on a daily business basis. What I believe, I thought, and it's not that I'm easily influenced, I'm just open to different points of view. Lovely to hear your story, Patricia. This could be a model for others to follow. Indeed, back to breastfeeding. No trans women are going to be breastfeeding, so this is still exclusively a female assigned at birth. I hate to piddle on your parade. Whether you believe it doesn't happen or not, it does happen. There are trans women born biological men that take a certain hormone that does promote lactation, and they there has been discussions online about it, do breastfeed. So whilst it's actually not a medical impossibility, whether you disagree with it or not. Right, now, let's go to Letter Mac Award. This is what we're all about here on Highland Radio. You know, we make commitments and we follow through on them. The people of that area and anyone using the road between Glenties and Dunlow, you know, can listen to this as well, because sometimes us as drivers don't really realise exactly what's going on, and it can change our behaviour. I'll be honest with you, I become far more slower a driver through Kilmacrenan than I would have been in the past. I never flew past way over the speed limit, but having spoken to locals there and talking about the junction, I started slowing down going through Kilmacrenan significantly. So that's why these types of conversations are important. And I'll let you know, by the way, you can watch this package if you hop onto our YouTube channel. So hundreds of people turned out yesterday in Letter Mac Award to highlight the issue of excessive speeding. Local community, the Letter Mac Award Development Group, and local representatives are calling on authorities to take action before tragedy strikes. And there for us was Ryan Brolly.
85%. That is the percentage of motorists which are found to be travelling in excess of 80 kilometres per hour in the village of Letchermack Award, a 60 kilometre per hour zone. That's according to a Donegal County Council speed survey. The residents of the village came out in protest of the excessive speeding, calling on the authorities to take action.
I'm Angela Pizius. I'm German, living here in Letchermack Award for 30 years. And I am the chairperson for the active seniors in Letter Mac Award. And we have a big group of seniors here meeting very often. And this is the reason that we have to be out and say, save our roads. It's too speedy on our road. You can hear it.
For the children, how important is it that they're involved in this sort of protest today?
I think this is a youth. They have to live here in this community for a long time, and it's very important to have a youth involved in such protests. I like it very much. I love it when the schools are active with the children. Okay, seniors is a different story.
It was the worry for safety that prompted residents to step out onto the footpath. One of the protest organisers, Breda Burns from the Letcher MacIvor Development Group, explains why they felt they needed to demonstrate.
Oh, it's a really important issue in Letcher MacIvor. It's become a vital issue now, the speeding through the village. And we are delighted that so many people came out on a Wednesday afternoon at 3 o'clock to support the protest. It's been highlighted today and before now, the problem with speeding through Letcher MacIvor. A speeding report carried out in 2020, 85% of cars were travelling in excess of 80 kilometres an hour, which is 20 kilometres in excess of what is the speed limit in Letcher MacIvor, 60 kilometres. Letcher is a beautiful village. It's situated between Dunloe and Glenties, and absolutely beautiful village, popular tourist destination, but we need action now on the speeding in the village.
Whenever we think about numbers and figures like that, can you notice the speeding when you're watching the road or even driving on the road? Do you notice it?
Absolutely, 100%. And we've listened to our community. I'm with the Letcher MacIvor Development Group, but we have a number of community groups in Letcher. And we've listened to the community for a year since the road was completed, the realignment of the road was completed in 2017. We've listened to the community talk about the speed, especially our elderly and our children, the most vulnerable in our society, having to cross this road. If you've been through the village, you'll see that there's business premises, residents, there's a housing estate behind you there, so there's a lot of people entering even onto the N56, and people don't feel safe anymore. That the speeding that's taking place through the village is not acceptable. Parents, teachers, teaching staff, together with the community, feel very strongly about making this road a safer road to drop and pick up your children.
And in an ideal world, what can be done to help the speeding
problem?
Well,
we know what can be done. The powers that be know what can be done. It was recommended that Letcher MacIvor should be issued with a safety package, traffic calming measures, and at a cost of €95,000. And that was in 2021. The report was completed. And as of yet, we don't have any of those measures that were recommended. We are appealing today to the powers that be. We want our village to be, it's a beautiful village, we want it to be safe for everybody that uses it, tourists, locals, school children, the elderly. We have the health centre just down the road there. We have a busy shop and pub just down the road at another junction. It's a beautiful village and we want it to be as safe as we possibly can. So we want that safety package. We are considered low priority in Letcher, but us in Letcher don't consider us a low priority when we see the speed in excess of 100 kilometres an hour on our road.
While the issue has been felt at the local level for some time, there's also political recognition of the issue at national level by Deputy Piers Doherty.
Look, I think it's a really, really positive day here in Letcher MacIvor. You can see that everybody's out, young and old, from the schools to the health centre here. Everybody in the community is pulling together and they're saying very clearly with one voice that they need support. They're very concerned about the speeds in this road. And it's not just them. The studies have been carried out. We've seen the speeds on this road. And nobody wants to be gathering here when it's a time of sadness, when it's a time of sorrow, when we're sympathising with a family. People are gathering here to make sure that we prevent that from happening. And we know that it's very little investment that's required here to carry out the traffic calming measures that are needed.
You've hit it there, being proactive instead of reactive in the face of tragedy, which is often what would happen here. What sort of work can happen to help the people here?
Well, a lot of the work is already done. So the feasibility study has been done in conjunction with TII, which have responsibility for our national and secondary roads. They've identified the type of traffic calming measures that's required. The problem is they're not prioritising it. They believe it isn't a priority because of the lack of accidents on the road or fatalities. Look, as I said, prevention is better than cure. We've had far too many sad stories on our roads in Donegal and elsewhere. This is a community that understands that this can happen here, that there is a serious issue with the number of schools here, with the health centre, with the lack of pedestrian crossings, and wants to make sure that we do not have a sad story coming out of Letcher MacIvor. So for the level of money, as I said it to somebody earlier on, 95,000 has been talked about as what's required. That would build you a third of the bike shed up in Leinster House. This community isn't looking for much. What they're looking for is a bit of safety. and a bit of peace. It's very rare that they come together. The last time they came together, it was to save their health centre. The health centre is now thriving. This community is one not to be messed with, and I would urge now the government and TII to respond appropriately and with empathy and compassion and make sure that the funding is provided.
Is that something to look at with TII then, that they're sort of ranking need based on accidents? Is that something that the government needs to look into?
It's always the case with TII, and in terms of how we actually look at speed limits on the roads or traffic calming measures. Unfortunately, we know also that there's so many collisions on the roads that don't actually get reported to the Gardaí, so therefore the full effects of these aren't known. But look, there has been studies carried out on this road by Donegal County Council. They've recorded, speed limit is 60 kilometres here. They've recorded cars that well over double that on these roads. The locals know the situation better than anybody, and there is a solution. You know, and sometimes in life is tough, and there are no solutions, or there's nothing we can do to prevent a tragedy. We know that there's a solution here. We can prevent a tragedy. This community is coming together and to say, let's do it now. And I'm delighted to be here and supporting them to see so many coming out. And I know myself and Brian Carr are going to continue to raise this both at the local level and at the Dáil level, and continue to work together with others to put the pressure on TII and the government to release the funding.
At the local level, Councillor Brian Carr, Las Cathaoirleach of the Glenties Municipal District, says he will continue to bring up the issue.
It's very important that the demonstration happened, but also very important that a large crowd turned out today. And the people of Letcher Magawaag definitely showed today that they have a speed issue. When they turned out in their hundreds there today, it's been an ongoing issue. They got the fantastic upgrade in 2017, which was brilliant. The new road, new cycle track, new footpaths and everything. But it also brought the issue of speed to the village. And unfortunately, the signs at the moment, they're just not adequate enough to let motorists know that the speed limit is 60 kilometres an hour. So a small round sign that needs to be upgraded to a full implementation of traffic calming. So a full safety measure has to be done for Letcher Magawaag.
And I believe you yourself have had to take the action in putting more signs, or helping put more signs, bigger signs down. Is it frustrating that a local representative will have to do that?
It is. That all bore out of a meeting that happened in the hall behind us here a few months ago. And we sat down wondering what could be done. And thankfully, the school down here went on their own, and they went and put up a lovely big sign, and the kids stood with their 60 kilometres an hour, reminding the motorists. So it all came out of that then. We were thinking, well, you know, let's put up more signs, be more visible that the speed limit is 60. And that's why I supported the community group here in getting those signs. They put them up themselves, so they're being very proactive, which is fantastic to see.
And you're the local councillor here. What action can you do in Donegal County Council to help this issue?
Well, I can raise the issue again. I've been raising it since I've been entered the council. It's been raised previous by previous councillors. I spoke to Mary Therese Gallagher yesterday about it, and she said that she's bringing that up for years as well. But I will keep banging that drum. I will keep going. I'm like a dog with a bone. I don't give up. But we need the signage put up so that when people enter both sides of the village, that they can see that they should be doing 60 kilometres an hour and no more.
All right, thanks very much, Ryan. Excellent package there. Thanks so much to the people of Latimer Ward for welcoming us to it as we committed to go down. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? And that package will be available for you to re-watch a little later on, if not already, on our social media. Just to remind you, 85% of vehicles travelling through that village were exceeding 80 kilometres per hour. That road has a 60 kilometre per hour speed group. Interesting, and I think a question in there that gets to the nub of it, really. Why are the TII making decisions based on past collisions? You know, let's use the local information, let's use surveys and be proactive. Why are we so reactive? I don't know. Right, now, pet owners will soon be able to bring their small animals with them on buses and trains after the NTA announced a proposal to relax its current rules. So let's see what pet behaviourist Kathleen Murray thinks of this. Kathleen, from what you can determine, have I outlined it correctly? Is that what's proposed?
Yes, that's what's proposed, to be able to bring your dogs or cats on the bus. But of course, these will have to be well-behaved animals or in carriers or on your knee contained and things. So it's not like they're going to be running about in the bus and things. And at the end of the day, the bus driver can put anybody off the bus if their dog is not calm and well-behaved. Mm. So if there's any issue of any kind, so it'll be well-regulated. And I think it's a really good thing for many people, because there are so many people who are living alone, maybe older people who can't drive anymore, maybe want to go and visit a son or a daughter or somewhere in a nearby town, and they've no way of, they don't want to leave the dog in the house all by itself
yeah.
all day long. You know, so I think it's a very good thing for a lot of people to be able to use this transport.
And how do we know how it's going to be, or how it's judged? You know what I mean?
How
you talked
judged.
About, yes, what size of dogs?
Well, if you've got a small dog, it has to be on your knee. No dogs will be on seats. It can be on your knee, and your bag can be at your feet or whatever. And if it's a larger dog, then it will sit beside you on the aisle, probably. I don't know where. There may be a designated dog section, but it will have a muzzle on. All large dogs will have a muzzle on for just to make the other passengers feel comfortable and safe in case anybody is scared or whatever. But it's not because there's anything wrong with the dog. It's just a precaution. That's just a rule, one of the regulations. That's what I'm saying. It's very well regulated that way. So, and it's, I mean, service dogs are on transport already. They're on buses and trains all the time. And there are buses who will accept dogs as it is. But this is just going to make it above board kind of thing. And this is just going to make it countrywide.
Has there been sort of a casual approach to this, or strict enforcement of dogs on buses, I wonder, up until now?
Well, it's been just, I suppose, the bus driver. The bus driver lets them on. I mean, some people have been travelling with their wee dogs for a long time on buses, maybe going over to Belfast or whatever, and there hasn't been any hassle at all. Most people are quite acceptable of it. Like, you know, they enjoy it, and they enjoy having a dog. But, I mean, there's lots of bags and things that you can get nowadays. You see them online there, and you put the wee dog into it, and it has just the room for to put his face out to look around and things. So it's not like they're going to be jumping all over the place and things. You know, it is going to be just for the journey. And dogs are usually very well behaved whenever they get into transport anyway. And I just think it's a really good thing to be able to get them out and about, and to get people out and about, so that they're not stuck home all day just because they have a little dog and they can't get out.
It sounds to me, though, like another thing bus drivers are going to have to enforce, though, you know, the size of the dog, where it sits, how it behaves, whether or not it's muscled. You know, they have enough going on looking out in front of them to avoid collisions without having to police the back of the bus as well. I just wonder if the outright ban bar service dogs was just the simplest option from an enforcement point of view.
Well, I think they'll probably be well tutored on what's allowed and what's not allowed. And they'll see them getting onto the bus, they'll be able to say, this is not acceptable, that's not acceptable, or whatever, and just refuse people. You know, it's that simple. If they, if the dog's not in the proper, you know, if it's not well behaved, if it's but overexcited, if it's, I mean, because this is going to be a good thing for a lot of people and a lot of dogs, because it's going to make people focus on their dogs more. It's going to make them train their dogs better. It's going to make their dogs more social. And if you see it, all of Europe have dogs and animals on their buses and on their trains, and there's not a problem. So I think we should look to where it works, how it works, and what way it works in other countries. Mm. And, you know, they are fine, and their dogs are well behaved on the buses because they're brought up to that from the time they're very young. But in Ireland here, because we've had such backward thinking for so long, and we're only starting to come forward now, people are finding it a little bit strange, but it's not strange anywhere else. The strangeness is that we're not already doing it.
Yeah, and of course, there's lots of families now, and I'm conscious that this is in urban areas. There's a lot of families now that have no cars, and they're being encouraged to use public transport, and that's how they get about. And if they also happen to be a pet owner, you know what I mean? They're not able to do that. So it doesn't really keep... It, having the ban on dogs doesn't keep in line with what the government's trying to achieve in terms of, you know, greener travel.
That's right. And, I mean, dogs are meant to be a member of the family, and they're treated as a member of the family in many, many houses, as they should be. So, I mean, if the family's going for a day out, you want to go to, I don't know, wherever, and the family's going, and you take the dog along, it can sit in somebody's lap, it's doing nobody any harm. They can have a nice day out. They can go to a park. They can go somewhere and enjoy it and come back again or go visit some relatives, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a nice day out for everybody because you can't believe in a dog at home all day either while you go out and enjoy yourself. No. And you don't want to be stuck in the house all the time either, you know.
But here's the counter view. Some of us really don't like dogs. Some of us are allergic to them. Some of us are scared of them. Muzzled, under control, it doesn't make any difference. And it's a very confined space. So I wonder, are those people being respected in this regard? I presume the argument is that they can make it work in other countries.
They make it work in other countries. And I have a granddaughter who's allergic to dogs. And I've been around dogs all my life. And she's been around my dogs all her life as well. But she takes an antihistamine when she comes and she's fine. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of ways around things, you know, that way. There are people who just genuinely don't like dogs. And I mean, there's a lot of people that I don't like. You know, there's a lot of smelly people on buses.
It's one of the viewers, right? True enough, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes we just have to compromise a little, you know, and go with the flow a little more to allow other people to live as well. Because nobody gets everything all their own way, is the way I look at it. So if we kind of compromise and cooperate a little bit, a lot can be achieved and, you know, we can all get something out of it. So, and for people with fears of dogs, I've met many people and worked with many children that have fears of dogs over the years and they went on to get their own dogs in the end. But fear is something you have to work with. You can't lie under fear. You can't let it take you over. You really have to face it eventually through like therapy or whatever. And you can get past it. It's not, you're not like stuck in it for life. You can get past it, maybe very slowly, maybe whatever, but it is possible.
And
so
Kathleen,
if we stay on the positive side.
Yeah, sorry, just before I have to go for a break, Kathleen, what about if you get on a bus in Letterkenny and you're heading to Dublin and it's going through the north? What do we know what the situation is there? Because that's really where it starts sort of mattering to us.
Yeah, I'm not sure what way they're going to be dealing with that, to be honest. But I know that they do allow dogs and buses in the north because I know a lady that goes to Belfast and she takes a wee dog with her and there's
okay.
no problem.
From the south?
Yeah, so
all right, okay, there you go.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how that's going to go, but well, whether it's just the bus driver or whether that's actually allowed, other people might know more about that than I do.
Yeah.
But
you know people
so,
that
you know,
are travelling from Donegal to Belfast with their dogs, so that's...
Yeah, okay. So... Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's all workable. You know, there's a place for everything, and I think it will work very well, and I think it's a very good thing for people.
Okay, right. Thanks, Kathleen. Kathleen Murray, pet behaviourist. What do you think? That public consultation opened back in March. They got a ton of submissions, and it looks like that's what they've settled on now. 086 60 25,000, dogs on the bus or the train. Give us a call, give us a text, 086 60 25,000, or call an 07491 25,000. People going to the airport will miss flights due to animals on buses. It's mad. How, I wonder? It'll be a disaster, Greg. Dogs will poo over buses. The owner will just tell driver to F off. Runs will be cancelled due to animal poo on buses. A hassle that can be done without, says another. Grocery shops, some permit dogs. It's at the shop's discretion. The Northern Ireland permits if you sell dog food, says a listener. Pets on transport. What about the people who are terrified of dogs? Do they have to be stressed out while on the bus? Will there be a charge for the animals? All good questions. Disgusting. As someone who doesn't like animals, I'd hate it, says another. You know, as I say, I recognise that there is a sort of an international precedent here. I've just seen people who don't understand that not everyone loves their dog like they do. And that's in a big open space and it can be quite uncomfortable. Now, bring that into, I don't think it's going to be, you know, a lovely older lady with a little lap dog that smells like primrose and sitting in a bag. You know, it is bigger dogs as well. So next thing you know, it's that Labrador that's breaking wind all over the place. I don't know. But then again, as Kathleen pointed out, there's lots of humans at that crack too. Service talk should be the only animals. Service dogs should be the only animals allowed because they are trained, believes another listener there. It's heartwarming to hear such a passionate principal in Patricia speaking and advocating so well for the Catholic Church and Catholic school. Our schools need more like this lady, regardless of the nationality of the saint. People need to remember it's the Catholic ethos we need back in our country, regardless. And the thing about Patricia, and I tried to articulate this to her, is that it's not like, I'm not here cheerleading for Catholicism or Catholic schools or whatever, or any school. I'm just here platforming whatever. It's just that I think we need to be in this country, and what Patricia is proud, you know, or believe, or say what we believe in. You know, say that, you know, this is a Catholic school. We're proud of that. We're proud of the patronage, and we're proud of what we do. Often we you know, people aren't as firm with the language because they're afraid of offending someone, and words don't offend. That's not offensive. But you just speak to a lot of people and they're just trying to not offend people when clearly there's no offence there to begin with. Some delays in Letterkenny are caused by parents in cars stopping traffic on the main road to let kids out of the cars to cross roads in front of traffic instead of driving onto the school grounds to drop them off. Other delays in Kilmacrenan Road is hospital staff crossing the road when the traffic lights are green. These can be little annoyances. They're not bringing the whole blooming town to a halt. What was it like today, Caroline? Were we getting many complaints about the traffic today? Was it moving a bit quicker? Let's hope it is, by the way. Much prefer that. I was sick and have been up and down on the bus to Dublin. I'm getting a renewal to allow someone to come on with me. My old pass had gone out of date in the meantime and the bus driver wouldn't allow me on the bus. I stayed with my sister in Dublin. The next day, I got on with the same pass. Some bus drivers are just awkward, says a listener. Back to pets on transport. I would not be using any bus that lets dogs or cats on. Another dogs on a bus is a joke. It's not a joke. As I say, I think the public consultation has found that people are okay with that. Right, scam emails that I can't read. Look at the size of the writing I've been sent in. If you're watching, you'll see it. I don't know what it even says. I've had two of these emails sent to me yesterday, just to warn anyone else. Thanks, Maeve. Do you know what those emails are saying, Shannon, there? Those emails that you've given to me? What are you laughing at? What do you mean? What does it say? You sent that in to me as content.
I didn't.
Okay, right. Collective responsibility. Right. Hi, I sent a message last week looking for accommodation for an elderly couple in Galway for 9 weeks when the man had to have treatment. They've rented a house in Moycullen from a lovely couple who are also going to take them to the hospital on the days of the treatment. Please thank people for being so kind and caring, coming in from Margaret. Well, you know what I wish? Whatever that couple want, that they get. You know, and I would say probably doing something for someone like they are is actually what they want, because it's such a beautiful thing. Thanks, Margaret, for the update. Checks from England. It took a long time for a sterling check that came from England. Has been told it will take 6 weeks to clear. I've been struggling. I'm 73 and shouldn't be. I've brought it up to AIB and asked why and was told it was just rules and regulations. Wow. Is that normal? 6 or 7 weeks to clear a check. Now, this is an older person, they say themselves. They received a check from England. They need the money, but they've been told that it will be 6 or 7 weeks to clear. Regulations? That can't be. I mean, when I say that can't be true, I'm not for a second doubting the listener. I'm very keen on this comment from a listener. So if there's any suggestions as to what we can do or how we can help or what role we might play on this. The caller has topicked this school bullying. Now children are going to school and back to school. Can you have a conversation about bullying and what should be done and what has to be done to confront it and stop it? Parents have to take responsibility for it. That's the parent of the bullier. Often, though, often even the bully perhaps is not getting the care at home for that parent to have that conversation with them. So maybe it's about holding them responsible, but I am more than happy to have that conversation. The thing I've noted about bullying in school, though, is how it can vary from school to school in terms of the tolerance towards it, zero tolerance, and so on and so forth. But listen, if there's a special in there for us to have a conversation about that, more than happy to do so. We've been talking about free-moving or not-so-free-moving traffic in Letterkenny. What about Ballybofey? Just to note, says this listener, in all my 50 years driving through Ballybofey Stranorlar, I've never seen it as good since it went to a one-way system from Aldi to Bonner's Corner. No traffic jams. Wowzers, okay. Let's see what can be see what can be learnt from that. Who's responsible for lifting roadkill, asks a listener. It's a very interesting question because, you know what, sometimes on the way to work you'll see a... It's often a badger, occasionally a cat, but often a badger. And this caller points to that as well. And they see deer, but they're on different roads. I often see badgers, deers, etc. on the road all the time. When I call the council, I'm told it's not them responsible and I get passed from one person to another. In the last 3 weeks, I've seen a large amount of badgers dead on the road. My issue is the birds then eat that kill and then those same birds are in fields. It's no wonder cows end up with TB. Interesting. Who is actually responsible? On the issue of beef, sure, they knew about this from day one. This is Brazilian beef. Why was Brazilian beef entertained in the first place? Well, what I suspect happened here is that the campaigners were really pushing an open door. The Mercosur deal is a big old deal and Brazilian beef was part of that. But we also have deals with Argentina and elsewhere. Big countries like Germany wanted to open up markets for the export of cars and all that type of stuff. And really, the reality was is that the EU regulations will catch bad beef. That must have been what they presumed. So they get Mercosur over the line. It's about much more than beef, but that's what we've been focused on. Germany can export its cars, etc. Argentina can export into us whatever it is they export. And the Brazilian beef remains in Brazil or Britain. It's heading into Britain now. We'll keep an eye on how much of it ends up there. Also, actually, Donald Trump has okayed the importation of Brazilian beef tariff-free, 30,000 tons of it into the United States market. So maybe the British won't get too much of that. Pets on buses. I run a venue where a lady arrived with her dog. It was well-trained and the dog sat quietly sleeping. Another person arrived and gave out about the dog being there. She caused quite a commotion about it. Once a complaint was made, we had to deal with it. We ended up having to ask the lady with the dog to leave. Despite the dog causing no issue, it was the human who was causing the problems. A tricky one. A tricky, tricky one, yeah. But dogs, if you come in out of the rain, they can kind of smell. But anyway, what about people in wheelchairs or a disability? They can't get off the bus for a break, but the dog can. There's no talk of comfort breaks. I haven't seen that yet. But anyway, I have a dog, but I don't think dogs should be allowed on the bus. I think it's not fair to people that do not like dogs. Another, why not have designated dog areas on the bus to avoid if people don't like dogs? Well, we can't really even get enough designated spaces on buses for people with a pram or a wheelchair. You often see if one person gets on with a pram, there's kind of one seat that accommodates the pram often, or there might be one space for a person with a disability in a wheelchair, for an example. So we're not accommodating people very well at the moment to then sort of start talking about how do we have specific areas for dogs. Last before the break, so Greg, I give €35 to go to Dublin. The woman gets on beside me with her bus pass. Is the dog free then? It does its business on the floor. I'm paying top dollar. I don't know. Toughy.
Business Matters is proudly sponsored by Print Supplies Frosses. Fed up waiting days for an engineer to service your printer or photocopier? Tired of running out of ink? Print Supplies keeps your office running smoothly with managed print solutions, local Donegal support and remote monitoring. Print Supplies helps save your business time and money.
Yeah, indeed. The Mega Husky on YouTube. Roadkill, I just stop and move it. One is meant to report badgers that are killed on the road to the Badger Society. I didn't know that. Oh, well, I didn't know the second thing. The first thing, well done. So there's always someone come along with a stronger stomach than me that'll sort all that out. Righty-o. Energy management training. What's going on? I'm sorry, should I say good morning to you, Chris?
You can start.
How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Yes, energy management training. Now, there's a free online energy management course. It's been made available through the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland. And essentially, it's to help businesses to reduce their energy bills. Online, go to seai.ie. It lasts for 2.5 hours. Lots of useful little tips there. And look, it could save you a few bob. Worth having a glance.
And I wouldn't turn your nose up at it. Some of the biggest businesses in this county are actually the most active in this space because they can see the value of it in terms of, water circulation, solar panels, etc. So certainly not something I would rule out because the biggest companies have actually been the early adapters and are doing really well. For the rest of us, though, unfortunately, not great news for some in terms of power prices heading into the autumn and winter.
Indeed. Now, if you have electricity that's supplied by Pinergy, their prices are going up from the 14th of September. The unit rate's going up by just under 10%. So it's a pretty hefty hike. Second time this year that they've hiked their prices. They're saying that their typical energy bill will go up by 7.6% based on average usage. But look, as you know, things are spun in a certain way. Mm. But nevertheless, based on what they've said, looks like over a year, that's an extra €169 for their typical customer, which is not insignificant. Like,
no,
you know?
And it's death by it's a thousand cuts because the shopping's going up, the power's going up, oil's going up, petrol's going up, diesel's going up, insurance, maybe not so much, but, you know, it's just, it's the accumulative effect of all of this. Home ownership.
Yes.
It's becoming a pipe dream, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed it is. The TSB has done a, permanent TSB has done a survey, and the proportion of people who believe that they will never be in a position to buy a home, that has actually fallen to 39%, down 4 points. But it all depends on the age group that you're in. 52% of under 35s believe they will never be in a position to buy a home.
And it's the hope that kills you, they say. But, you know, it's sad that you've got these people grafting away. And you know, what are they? Not home ownership isn't for everyone, don't get me wrong, but many of those probably aspire to have a home. And we're in a country now whereby you can go out and work yourself to the bone and you actually just accept that you will never own a home.
Yeah.
And then that's what they're saying. So what are they, what are their hopes and dreams and aspirations? Because they're giving up on the house effectively.
A lot of them are. And then we've a real time bomb for people who are maybe renting into their 50s and 60s.
Oh, yeah.
And suddenly their income drops, they retire, and what happens to them? That's a big concern.
And that those people, they're actually starting to come into the system now. We're actually seeing an increase in homelessness or people becoming homeless in rental properties at the pension age. So it's not a 30, 40 years. The thing, that's actually starting to come trickle through now, but that trickle will turn to a flow and society will have to deal with that. Dealership award for Donegal Car Dealer.
A little bit of positive news. Balbuffet-based Gallagher Cars, they've been named the Ulster winner of the best online marketing.
One of my first cars in Gallagher's Cars.
Oh, right,
it was a very different business back in the day, but yeah.
Right. So these awards done through carsireland.ie, so they've got the best online marketing category in the second quarter, so well done indeed to them.
Yeah, and we were actually talking about the variances between weights for home care packages. Different counties, different regions do it in different ways. I'm still trying to get to the bottom of why waiting lists for home care packages and additional hours are so long here in the Northwest. Virtually zero on the East Coast. And I'm not sure if it's the HSE here's policy in terms of in-house or external. There's a lot to figure out there, but we need more people providing third party home care, and companies are growing.
Indeed, I mean, there's quite a few private companies now providing home care, and they're all seemingly looking for staff. Indeed, one of them, Davida, they're recruiting at the moment in the Northwest, up to 30 positions available, notably Balbuffet, Ardrad, Lenties, and Killybegs. And by the way, the name Davida, it's inspired by the Latin words for home, which is domus, and life, vita. So you learn something every day.
So that's some news. What's on the pod?
On the podcast this week, I'll be speaking to a young Donegal entrepreneur who has started up a fintech company, and he's developing a new way for people to pay when they go into a business premises. So instead of having to take out your phone, open an app, scan or tap.
You fart.
No. Okay. LookPay, that's what it's called. It uses Bluetooth-based proximity detection. So when you go into the store, if the store are signed up for LookPay, it'll automatically identify you. You come up to the terminal. It uses facial recognition, and you just come up, you scan your item, and it speeds up the whole process. The person at the counter will see your face. It'll confirm it. And if there's a doubt or dispute, your initials come up so they can ask you that. And they reckon that it can cut the transaction time from about 36 seconds to about 9 seconds. So, look, it's all about speed.
Unless I have to speak to people, the better. I'm only messing.
You like this fast track stuff.
Well, I've seen this in China. I'm still waiting to get invited to the Penny's Christmas party because I feel like I work there now. I do so much scanning. But I've seen this shops in China whereby it's all done with cameras and AI, and you walk in, you pick up your stuff and you walk out. You never interact with the person. And it's scanning what you're picking up and observing any suspicious. You just walk in, get your stuff and walk out. Anyway, and it's deducted. Right, so let me play the clip.
Well,
we'll give him the
Anish Nayak is the guy behind it, and he's just completed the Leaving Cert at St. Eunan's, a guy with a big future.
Basically, LookPay allows people to pay in stores by not even pulling out their phone or card or whatever. You just walk in and the phone automatically connects to the merchant terminal and your face pops up, and the employee, he can just press your face and enter the amount, and you don't need to do a single thing to pay. I think this is a very new system, and this could change payments forever. And this technology has never been seen before in the market where payments happen automatically in real life. So this is a game changer, and I'm hoping that this will become very big across Europe, Americas, and all over the world, I guess, and LookPay will become a household name.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen is Tom Cruise is going to start getting billed for your shopping, Chris. Right, that podcast is available for you this afternoon.
It's not this afternoon, it'll
tomorrow,
be this evening.
This evening, okay. That didn't last long.
The second part of it is...
there's a part two, go ahead.
There's a part two, and we'll be looking forward to looking at the blue economy. There's a big event happening next week in Letterkenny, and I'll be hearing from Gary Martin on the economic development side of things at Donegal County Council all about that and the potential for the blue economy.
Brilliant. Available later today. Keep an eye on that. And it's on the radio after six. And the email, Chris?
Business Matters at HighlandRadio.com.
We'll chat to you tomorrow morning at 9.